We look in Exodus chapter 16. This is the occasion when manna was given. And at the end of the chapter, verse 32, and Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The children of Israel did eat manna, and so on. We have a pot of manna laid up before the testimony. What was that testimony? It wasn't the ark. The ark wasn't built yet. It wasn't the law. We don't get that till much later. What could possibly be this testimony? I don't know. I suspect myself that it was the rod that Moses had. The point I like to bring out here is that there was something that Moses had that God used. And Moses was not to forget that. He laid it up. He might be used of God for something sometime. It's easy to forget that. You're not to forget it. You might have some answer to prayer in your life. It's easy to forget it. You are not to forget that. Lay it up. Moses had a little spot. I suspect it was a box. I have no idea what it was. It might have been a tent. I just know what it wasn't. Those things weren't there yet. But every answer to your prayers is something precious for you to lay up. And it'll strengthen you for that which comes next. So we have this testimony here. Let's turn over to Exodus 33. This is after the law is broken. That's chapter 32, where the law is broken. And we read that, verse 7, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp." What was this tabernacle? It wasn't what we find set up in chapter 40. It hadn't been set up yet. Might have been a little tent. I suspect it had that rod in it, but it doesn't say what it was. Maybe it had that rod in it. And perhaps it had a pot of manna in it. Everybody who wanted to seek the Lord went to that place. But then we find in Numbers chapter 1 that the tabernacle after it set up, that's chapter 40. We read about the tabernacle being set up. Chapter 39, I think it is, we read about the priesthood being set up. Because, see, in chapter 33, there was no priesthood yet. There were no singers yet. That was waited for David's time. No singers, no priesthood. It was a tabernacle, though. no royal garments, I mean, no priestly garments, none of that. But it was a spot where the Lord was recognized as being there. That's that spot that I recommend that you and I treasure in our hearts, where the Lord is recognized, or he has been there in your life, however that might be. Then to go on, as I said, in Numbers chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, we find that the children, it says, towards the end of the chapter, it speaks of the children of Israel, that's verse 52, pitched their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their host. The Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. So there was a time when this tent was outside the camp. But then we find that it's inside the camp, just as it's meant to be. What changed? I would suggest it's this. When Moses had to take that tent of testimony outside the camp, there was no sacrifice for sin. There was law that was broken, and no sacrifice for it. It had to be taken outside the camp. There was no blood shed, and there was no mercy seat. And so, in chapter 40 of Exodus, in chapter 39 of Exodus, the priesthood, chapter 40 of Exodus, the mercy seat in its proper place. And you and I have a mercy seat. And you and I have access to that. So it's a beautiful thing to think of the time when that testimony of the Lord's presence could be brought back into the congregation, because now there was a mercy seat. Now, it doesn't say that. I'm just trying to explain why it would be that it had to be outside the camp at one time, and then it was brought inside the camp at another time. I believe it's because there was a mercy seat, and bloodshed, and a priesthood. So, that being said, what do we think of Hebrews 13? And there's a beautiful thought about that. Hebrews 13. Verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Notice it doesn't say the temple, it says the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a picture, as we've often enjoyed, of that which we have now with the foreshadows what we have now, enjoyment of Christ. And all being the boards and so on, silver, sockets of silver, things covered with gold, all those things that have different thoughts to them. Temple really is more of a picture of that which is ahead in the millennium. So it's very appropriate that it speaks here of the tabernacle. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now if we think of Exodus 33, where that little tent with whatever was in it was outside the camp, the reproach was not on the tent, it was on the camp because of their sin. So what's the reproach that we're talking about here? Well, it explains in the passage what it is. And if we were looking, well, I guess I'll have to read it, the end of Leviticus 6, speaks of the sin offering. Leviticus 6 and verse 30, and no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with them in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. It wasn't for a priest to enjoy anything about a sin offering. That sin offering, the blood was shed, but the priest wasn't to enjoy that. Would it be right for the priest to enjoy the fact that somebody else had sinned and had to come and give an offering? That's what it says in chapter 13 of Hebrews. The bodies of verse 11, the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest are burned without the camp. They had no right to eat of it. What we have to enjoy is something entirely different than what they had. It was a reproach. That sin was a reproach, and it had to be put outside the camp. What is our enjoyment? We have the privilege of bearing his reproach, going outside and being occupied with the sacrifice instead of all that other stuff. We have the privilege of being occupied with the sacrifice. Jesus, in shame, as we brought out before in this meeting, in shame, hung on that cross. I was thinking, as our brother Bill was speaking of that, how that you often see pictures of Jesus on a cross. You never, never see the shame. Every single one of them has some garment hung around them. You never see the shame of being hung naked on a cross. But we have the privilege of looking on him as our sacrifice and bearing his reproach. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In our meeting recently in Mount Tabor, we were reading in 2 Corinthians, and it says in chapter 4, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Taking up our cross and following him, having the privilege to partake a little bit of his reproach.
Take number 252. Sweet the moment which is rising, using o'er the frosty air, life and health and peace of
Could we also sing the third verse of number 173?
Amen.